Father, I just, we've come through just a memory, Lord, of Christmas. And we're so grateful by your Spirit we were enabled to make it Christ. It was all about remembering your coming into the world, and we are grateful. Father, as we continue now to go into a new year, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just feed us and keep us centered in you for the year to come. And Lord, let us be sensitive to your Holy Spirit and not to the voice of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the false prophets that are out there prophesying all sorts of nonsense. Father, we pray that we'll be settled in Jesus and in the Holy Spirit and not be drawn off into bayous of just religious nonsense. Father, we want to walk with you in this day of your coming. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I can recall years ago, I think it was Bob Mumford. I don't want to end up blaming him, but I think it was him. He said he got sick and tired of all of the supposedly men and women of such maturity walking around in shiny armor. No dents, no bruises, no difficulty. He said, I just couldn't live that way. And he said, then I met a guy who had dented armor and sometimes fell down and got up, but he was so much life to me because we shared life together. Mm. And I think I use that as a preface, almost an apology for where I want to begin today. I had, it wasn't last Tuesday. It must have been last Wednesday. I had I have to get up to give Barb meds and all that, but went back to sleep, and it was about 4 a.m. And I will not describe it, but it was a horrid dream, just a horrid attacking dream. And I woke up, kind of fought it, got some victory, but I could remember saying, I was brought to tears. I said, well, God, is this ever going to be dealt with? And I was taken back to some things I'd been sharing really all my Christian life. And that's about the old man. And the old man will never change. And I said, well, I know that.
Die.
And yet the strange thing is then if I know that, then why would I go through this horrid dream? Now, I think each one of you, as I look around here, has different expressions of that old nature.
Yes.
There's not one that's just tough at all, except that all of us have temptations. We are tempted. But no man say he's tempted, but with the temptation, God shows us a way through it. And the way through it, of course, is going back to Romans 7 and Romans 8, where we recognize the old man, but say, he's not us. That I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave it himself for me. You know, when I repeat those texts, I think, well, I'm hoping, when's that old man go away? I already know. The only way he's going to go away is when I leave this body.
Yeah.
But as long as I'm in this body, and one of the mysteries that I've always had is, God, why did you choose to come and live in this temple, which is polluted? And yet, by your Spirit, this temple does not have to yield to its pollution. Are we together in this? I sure am. And this old man will always come with probably the same temptations. And when I'm asleep and when I went through this dream, I woke up and I grabbed Barb's arm and I said, honey, pray for me. Am I ever going to get through this? And she knew the thing that I was wrestling with. And she said, well, honey, when we go to be with the Lord, that old nature will go away and we'll have a new body.
Glory.
I've got to continue to believe that, because Am I the only one that ever gets attacked by the old man? You know, if you guys got this beaten, if you're all just what, then let's just go home.
When he attacks, I always tell him, that old guy died.
He died.
He died. Yeah. I said, you're attacking the wrong person. Leave me alone. Get out of here.
That's right. Because it is, we've got to have a whole mind renewed, and the mind that the resurrection life ministers to.
Right.
I was remembering one of the books that was such a blessing to me. It was a little short book called Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And in the last chapters of that, he was talking about what true fellowship was. And he says he was so grateful that in his Christian walk, he had brothers and sisters who stumbled and fell and got back up. If they fell five times, they got up six times. And that's normal. And to have fellowship with people who, when I'm saying, don't have it all together, but are walking as best they can, allowing the Holy Spirit to do that sacramental work in us that we call what? You remember that word?
Sanctification.
Thank you very much. Sanctification. We are set aside, but it's a process. And in that process, sometimes we're attacked by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yeah. And don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal, as though something strange were happening. So there are ways that we when that temptation comes, we're learning by grace and God's love and mercy to immediately go to Jesus. Immediately say, Jesus, that's not me. I'm not going there. You are my life. You are my way. You are the truth. And I stand with you. Now, even when I do that, I often find that ugly demonic voice still yells, rails and screams. Yeah. And we have to learn to stand. And having stood, we can be able to have victory. We have prayer. I think of the scriptures that we used in the first memory. How shall a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy will. Thy word have I laid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We have tools and we have the resurrection life. We don't have to live under the power of the enemy or the old man. But I think the thing that God was trying to say to me is, son, you're never so sanctified in this life that the old man is gone. Mm-hmm. He's still around until that time comes and we can shed him. And I think sometimes I thought, man, I'm just walking in victory. I don't ever have to worry about that. And I kind of let my guard down. I'm talking this way because years ago, I was in a meeting with someone who was teaching, and the basis of their teaching was this. As a teacher, don't let them see you sweat.
Oh.
Don't ever let them see you have a problem or a difficulty. Because if you do, then everything you teach is meaningless. You've got to present this right face all the time. And I found that the people I've learned through the most are people with dented armor.
Yeah.
Men and women that I can look at this picture right now, starting down at the bottom, Tom and Sandy and Jerry and Ann and Jane and Alan and Danny. I go right up across the board here. All of you have gone through difficult things. All of you have had problems, and it's so nice to be able to come and say, you know, Al, I got this problem. And Al may be thinking, God, is he ever going to get over this? You know. But he doesn't do that. He says, I understand. Let me join you in your confession of the reality of the resurrected Christ in you. Let me stand with you. Let me not sit back and judge me and say, when the heck are you ever going to grow up? You're a teacher of the word of God. You're supposed to have it all together. Well, I don't. But I'm getting there. And daily, day by day, I'm being conformed to the image of Jesus. And I found that people who live that way, I'm able to better relate to. I have been with a lot of people, and one of the people, one of the peoples, how about that? Great one of the men that was such a blessing to me was Tommy Tyson, and I've mentioned him so many times, the first chaplain at ORU. And I think the thing that really endeared me to him, as well as to Dr. Frost, who also was at ORU at that time, is that they were men of God, but they didn't come across with a kind of perfectionism. We got it all together. Come on, will you get your horses together? And they were vulnerable. And that vulnerability enabled fellowship of the Spirit to come in where we could help one another. I've told you so many mornings when I would go on the air early in the morning at 6, Tommy would be in his office there at the foot of the prayer tower, and sometimes he was there early. And times, many times, I'd be walking to go up the elevator to go on the air, and he'd say, "Hey, son, you got a minute?" And I'd say, "Well, sure, Brother Tyson." They say, "Hey, pray for me, will you? Today I've got a real problem. Dealing same darn old thing." And I would say, "Same darn. But you're Tommy Tyson. You're the chaplain of ORU. You got to have it all together." Or I would think that. I wouldn't say that. And usually it was something around this area. He'd say, "Will you pray for me that I'll stop trying to be good and trust the goodness of God and Jesus?"
I understand that.
And then he'd breathe deeply and say, "Thank you," and walk away. But I tell you, it made him vulnerable to me. I needed an older brother who maybe didn't have it all together, but was on his way. And I think that you and I need that kind of fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need one another who haven't got it all together, but they're moving, allowing the Spirit to lead them always to Christ in the times of temptation, the Lord Jesus within. And so I go back again and again and again to Romans, that 7th chapter where he talks about, I can will what's right, but I can't do it. I see another law working within me. And then when he speaks of the victory, I want to just read it again, so familiar to us all, but I want to read it. "Thanks be to God, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" I can't tell you what joy that brought to me. It's Romans 7:24, years ago. You mean the Apostle Paul had problems? I thought he had it all together. And then I can remember reading through the book of Acts. And you remember when he and his partner split up? They got angry at each other. Well, what's the matter with you guys? I thought you were the leaders. Don't you have it all together? No, we don't have it all together. What we have is the Lord Jesus in us working together. And he says, "Who will set me free from the body of this death?" The thing that got to me when I read this earlier, and we've been through this many times over the years, the thing that got to me was his understanding of that old man. And that horrid dream I had last week gave me a deeper understanding of that old man. "Son, I want you to understand, I love you. You have the victory. You have the victory in Christ." But that old man doesn't change. He doesn't slowly get saved.
He doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He is as rotten today
to the core
as he was before I knew Jesus Christ. He is never going to change. He is the same. But Jesus Christ is greater. And you and I have to learn through sanctification to constantly yield to Jesus. And as we do, that voice grows dimmer and dimmer. But as long as we're in this flesh, I had thought this particular area in my life had been pretty thoroughly dealt with. There were some other things I was dealing with, some relationships. And when this came roaring back, which it seemed to be sin number one in Tom Moen's life, the thing that God used to bring me to Jesus, I thought, "Oh my God, is this ever going to go away?" And the spirit at that time, and that's why Barbara's prayer for me was so important, was she said, Jesus is with you. He'll go to him. Go to him. And that pressure just dies away. Well, he says, who will set me free? Verse 24. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. I had a guy years ago tell me, I said, well, why did Paul write about this? You know, I mean, didn't he have it all together? No, he had to fight it just like you and I do. And he shows us the way that Jesus Christ within us is greater than the temptations in the world, the flesh and the devil. But it is a problem. And I think it's at times that I need my brothers, my sisters to just stand with me and say, Tom, we together go to the cross. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, that old man, but Christ who lives within me, and the life I have in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Mm-hmm. I need that confession. Now, I sort of hesitate to admit, I sometimes forget that.
Oh my, yes.
In the temptation of the enemy, it's almost like that's what he wants to do. Get me to forget the victorious Christ who is within. Get me to just for a moment to get his foot in the door. And then it's downhill. That's why that dream, it probably lasted 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And I can remember feeling like a man in a hole trying to get out of a grave, a deep grave. Can I get out? Can I get out? I can't get out. Jesus is already out, and I'm out with him when I turn to him. And that's what happened when Barbara prayed. Immediately, I was out of the grave and on the top. But I needed her. Now, I look around and I see your faces. Most of you I know pretty well. You've been through some difficult things. But the thing that's been most blessed is to be able to walk through your problems with you as you've walked through my problems with me. We need that kind of fellowship.
Yes.
Amen.
That's why I go back to what Bob Mumford said those years ago. He said, I'm tired of looking for these guys who give us their seminars and their shiny or white armor. They never have any problems. Well, he said, I couldn't relate to that because I have problems. I have difficulties growing up in Christ. And then another thing began to happen. I began to realize the difference between a convert and a disciple. I've read many times from the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. Let me just read it again to you. The Corinthian church, if any church was carnal, they were class A carnality. But he said in verse 1 of 3, 1 Corinthians 3, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to babes in Christ, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Behold, even now you're not yet able. You're still fleshly. The difference between a convert and a disciple. Go into all the world and make disciples, not converts. At the end of this chapter, after he talks about the works and everything, he says, if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss. He shall be saved, yet as through fire. The point is that there are some people who don't want to grow up.
No.
They want to remain converts. And I find it's the men and women who really want to grow up that suffer the greater temptations. I think that's why Peter wrote what he did in that fourth chapter. I think it's 1 Peter 4. Why are you surprised at the fiery ordeal that comes upon you, as though something strange is happening? It's happening to your brethren all over the world. Everybody who is really seeking the Lord is under attack. Those who are not under attack are converts. Now, I'm saying something very theological. I don't know. But I see such a difference. I told you about the young boy that came down to our house years ago, a friend of mine's eldest son, and his parents had heard that we were strong Christians, and they sent him down there telling him this, we found out after the event. Go down there and embarrass yourself and get saved, and then you can go and live like you want to. Well, he came down and said his parents had sent down for him to receive Jesus. Could he do it? And sure, we prayed for him, put some water in the bathtub upstairs, baptized him, and never saw him again. I have often wondered why some of the most evangelical churches, the people will come for a while and then they're gone. I wonder if oftentimes the gospel that's been preached has been a gospel of get saved, but not see and enter the kingdom of God and become a disciple. It is disciples that the enemy attacks more than he does the converts. Why attack the convert? They're not changing. They don't really care. They're going to live life the way they want. They got their so-called fire insurance. And I've been in too many fellowships where fire insurance has been the standard. Well, did you walk the aisle? Did you pray the prayer? Well, yeah, but have you entered the kingdom? Have you given yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? And the enemy comes and attacks the world, the flesh, and the devil. I was reading in John 6 the other day where Jesus said that he's the bread of life. I want you to eat my body and drink my blood. What does he mean by something like that? Yeah. Eat my body and drink my blood. In other words, when you do, the same things that happened to me will happen to you. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal. Go back with me, would you please, to the book of Matthew, where he's talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew, it's chapter 5, I believe. But I just wanted to read it to you. Blessed are you, verse 10. Blessed are those who've been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are pursuing righteousness, those who want the righteousness of God in their life, that whole thing of being set aside for God's dealing. Then 11, blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you, say all kinds of things falsely against you on account of me. I have found that converts very rarely are persecuted. But I find disciples are. Now, I don't know another way to say it. If you could find another way to say it, if you disagree with me, that's fine. I've been disagreed with a lot. My point is that there's a difference. Do you know the difference? Do you know the difference between being a disciple and a convert? Blessed, rejoice and be glad for reward, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. There is a kind of, I don't know what I would call it, sloppy agape out there. That is part of what I call just a convert. Yes, I've given my life to Jesus, but like the parents told my young boy's friend, you got to do that, embarrass yourself, and then go live the way you want to. And Paul seems to indicate in that third chapter that all of your works are burned up. You have nothing, but yeah, you're saved, but you're of no good on earth for the kingdom of God. I know of men and women who say they've given their life to God and yet continue in businesses and business practices that are ungodly. I won't go any further than that. But anyway, go back now to Romans 7 at the end of that chapter, because I think it's vital for you and I. I think it was really great in the book of Acts, you know, when Paul and Bartholomew, not Barnabas, rather, excuse me, Paul really got critical of that young man. He left us when we were in a difficult place. I'm not taking him anywhere. Barnabas says, I'll take him. And they split up. Well, it was God's way, I guess, of getting two evangelistic teams. But the point is, I don't think Paul's attitude was necessarily godly, but God was using him. God was growing him up. I see in the letters that Paul writes a great growth. Is this young man? Let me just go right into 8 of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if I want to be in a place where I can't be accused and condemned, where do I need to be? In Christ, in the time of temptation. I guess I'm wondering, does anybody else go through this, or am I just the only guy?
I'm not trying
to get your sympathy. I'm trying to say that there's a growth process, and that growth process is God uses the enemy. God uses him rather than the enemy using us.
And Tom, I think that because we are all able to access a database, as it were, which is technically our memory. Mm-hmm. And our memory doesn't, I mean, we still remember all the times we were in the flesh.
Yeah.
And the enemy uses that memory against us, whereas the parts of our database where Christ is involved, he uses that memory as well. And that the battle is the database remains the same. The bad stuff and the good stuff are all there. And the question is, what do we access? What do we go to? Those things that are in Christ or those things that we have done we know are not in Christ.
And in Christ, we've been made free and given the power to choose correctly.
Right.
That's why in Romans 12, he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. A new program is possible when we choose the Lord. But we are free not to choose. That's what I think happens with... Do you understand the difference I'm making between a convert and a disciple?
Yeah.
I think that's what, because he goes on and says that you may prove what the will of God is, what's good, acceptable, and perfect. We have a way to prove the will of God, and it's in the times of difficulty, hardship, temptation, that he says, you're free. God doesn't get your arm behind your back and say, now, you better get back there and quote Romans 8. Come on, or I'll rip your arm off. You are free to choose no.
Yeah.
You are free not to choose Christ. And that freedom, I think, is one of the great gifts of God's grace. We're really free. I'm free to choose Jesus Christ 24/7. But I'm also free choose another way. That will, that's why our will, our mind has to be renewed. We've used the example of getting a new program for the computer. Well, this computer up here needs to be reprogrammed. And that's what daily salvation is as we work it out. And as we go back to Romans again, that 8th chapter, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin. And we go back and we remember the Old Testament. The law was fine. The law is perfect. That's what Romans 6 and 7 are all about. The law is not the problem. The problem is you can't do it. You can know what's right, but there's no power apart from the grace of God. But in the grace of God, the law is fulfilled by faith through grace. Isn't that a marvelous gift? I love the way it says it. I had my, here it is. I got this big old book over here. It's so big and unhandy. It's my message Bible, and I love the way he says it in Romans 8:1. In essence, we have just such a high priest, authoritative right alongside God, conducting worship in the one true sanctuary built by God. The assigned task of a high priest is to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. I turned to Hebrews 8.
That's good, too.
Like
Tom, get a life here.
Oh, I like Hebrews.
I'm not anti-Hebrew.
No.
Sorry. With the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. That's what I'm trying to communicate rather poorly today of what I went through in the last week with that horrid dream, yeah. My wife's intercession. Yeah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying, black cloud. New power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. I just love that.
Well,
I have found how important it's been to me to realize that the battle still goes on. It's not over. It's over theologically. Christ is already on the throne. He rules and reigns from on high right now. And you and I are in him eternally. Yet as long as we're in this realm and in this fallen world and in these bodies, there's a battle. My wife and I were talking with my daughter this morning. She'd been listening to somebody else. That's not the problem. And as we talked, they both began to say, you know, if there's anything that 2020 has brought to my life, is that there's a battle. Mm-hmm. There's a battle that's going on, and it's real. And you and I have faced it. We have faced lots of enemies in these last months. And as we go into the new year, and it's one of the reasons, I don't want to lay this upon Al, but I kind of heard him say this, I think. If not, he can renounce me. It's all right. I thought I heard him say, the very things that are going on become one of the encouragements that Christ is coming soon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everything is at hand. Everything is being set up. It's as though all of those scriptures that have been so laid aside are being fulfilled. The persecution going on, the coming of the Lord, preaching of the kingdom of God. I really believe all of this is preparation. Maybe we will be the generation that sees him come in the air and we'll meet there. I'd love that. I would love it. Yeah, go ahead.
If I didn't say.
Say we're in.
Oh, that's not Christ.
Go ahead. What else? Yeah. I missed that.
I said we're already in the birth pangs.
Yes.
They get more intense, more frequent.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's so important to realize we've been in a battle.
We're about to deliver Jesus the King.
Amen. Well, my notes, the difference between a convert and a disciple. And as I remember that young man I spoke of and others I've seen over the years, discipleship, dear friends, is costly. It's costly. It costs everything. Yeah. Everything. Yeah. But it's worth it, infinitely worth it. To get up in the morning and say, Lord Jesus, Thank you that you're Lord of Lords this day. Thank you that you live within me. Thank you that by your Spirit, you can lead me through this day and any problems that present themselves, any attack of the world, the flesh, and the enemy. You are greater than all of them, and I can live victoriously. Barbara's gone through a lot of pain and some things that are a little too personal to discuss, but this morning we were just kind of sitting there crying together. She's 80, I'm 85. Parts of my body just don't work like they used to.
Oh my. Yeah.
And Barb's been through parts of her body that she can't use her hands.
Yeah.
And she picks up some coffee to drink and it pours down her front. And she says, oh God, am I ever going to be able to use hands again? Just use my hands. And we say, honey, God is with us even if we pour the whole cup on a shelf. God is with us and we'll use it. But I've never been here before. I've never been 85. That's not a plea for your sweet. It's just simply true. I've never been here. Jim, you're older than me and so is Al. Who else is older than me? Who is? All of you. I'm so grateful for people who preceded me in this faith. We're talking with my daughter where we live now in her home, which is really the home that we built 55 years ago. The amazing thing is she is enjoying it, and we think we're just, Barbara and I were saying this morning, she's in the other room, I'll talk quietly. She said, well, I don't want to embarrass her. She said, you know, I just don't want to put my daughter to having to worry about me every day. You know, I need help going to the bathroom. I need help when I change my clothes and blah, blah, blah. I can't do them myself anymore. I try to write and I can't write. I try to do certain things. I can't do it. Well, I feel the same way. I'm so glad I got the lumbar healed. You know, that was great. But I've got arthritis in my shoulder, in my back, and in my knee. And every time I stand, it hurts. And I want to say, Lord, it's all right. You can heal it. That'd be great. But what if he's saying I'm withholding it and I'm teaching you how to handle hurt? Well, I don't particularly want the lesson.
No.
All I'm saying is that every day is new in Christ, but it's the same process. Romans 7 and 8 is daily. The old man never changes. I look down Jerry and Ann. By the way, are you going to get into that on 71st Street?
No. They don't want anybody right now.
They don't want anybody?
Last time I talked to them, they said they were full up.
Oh, I thought you were pretty close to getting in.
Our name's on Liz.
Well, at least you're on the list. Well, you're on another list too, brother. And that's the one with Jesus. That's where we are together.
The Lord has blessed us with help. We've had a lot of help.
Say again.
We're using home health care.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The Lord has blessed us with a lot of help.
Good.
Yeah.
And we're grateful for that.
Good. Yes.
For good help.
Good. Yes.
Praise God for that.
Right. Yeah.
Praise God for that. Yes, Sandy, you look like you wanted to say something.
I didn't have anything particular in mind, but all of this is stuff I can say aloud amen to.
Well, I think, you know, as I look around here, any one of you I could go to and not worry about you saying, well, Tom, you dumb old Christian, when are you going to grow up and get over it? I could go to you and say, look at Danny, I'm hurting and this thing's beating me up. I don't think she's going to say, well, get over it. You know? And there's too much of Christianity that comes across that way. That's why I love that Life Together where Dietrich Bonhoeffer said he was so grateful for those brothers and sisters who had the dented armor, and they could sit and listen to his problem and enter it with him and go through it with them and stand with him and pray with them and believe with them without condemnation and judgment. I get enough judgment in the world. I don't need it in the body of Christ.
No.
Yeah.
I really don't. Well,
I would like to praise Jerry. He goes through what he goes through day after day, taking care of me is something. And I don't want to go into it, but it really is something.
I know what
he
you mean.
He gets me up in the morning, and it's not easy. So I'd just like to praise Jerry for all that.
Amen. We join with you. Amen. We honor you, Jerry. We thank you. I know what it is to care for your wife. I know there are women that have cared for their husbands. And praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jerry, for taking care of Annie the way you do. She's very precious to many of us, to all of us. And thank you, Jerry.
You're a great inspiration to me because I know you're going through things that I've gone through, Jerry, and I appreciate your testimony. I look over here on the right part of the screen. I see Jane, and every time I see her, the picture of her husband carrying her up, I just in his arms. I've had to do that, and now I'm so weak I can't hardly lift my wife. I don't have the strength, and I wonder where did it go. I've never been this weak, but I'm finding a way.
Yep, in 85 either.
That's right.
Yeah. Tom, Cheryl has had to get me off the ground a number of times, especially in the last 6 months. And she's done a remarkable job. She's got the arthritis in her hands and pushes really hard with everything she's got anyway, even though it hurts her. And I'm just so grateful that we haven't had to call the EMTs except one time. And I've fallen, I don't know, maybe 10 times. And she gets me up off the ground.
Well,
I appreciate that. 2 weeks ago, when we moved in here, I fell and I've still got a big bruise. And I'm laying on the floor in there, and here comes Brian and Becky and to help me up the ground. Mm-hmm. You feel like a complete idiot. Here I am, 85 years old, and I can't get up off the floor.
Isn't that the old man behind that closed door? You know, you said the old man never shuts up. But you can close the door, but you can still hear the muffled voice behind that closed door saying, Tom, you idiot, you've fallen and you can't even get up. Well, there's nothing idiotic about that.
No, but you really feel foolish, don't you, sometimes?
Yes, but that's the old man, isn't it? That's the pride thing swelling up saying, oh, well.
And in the new man, I'm so grateful for Brian, for Becky. Mm-hmm. They got down there and, you know, I'm 200 pounds and,
me too.
And they finally got me up. That's and I wanted to apologize. And Brian looked at me and he said, why apologize? It doesn't help. No. You don't have to apologize. We enjoy picking you up. Do you know what that does to you?
That's
when
you're
the guy laying on the floor? Huh?
That's why you are there with them.
Yeah.
They may do that.
Yes. I can't tell you the joy I have in my girls and my sons and what they've done. I get emotional. And I'm just so grateful for the brothers and you. Some of the gifts that you people have sent me and Barbara, I can't find words for. Not just money. But prayers, emails, sometimes food, just little things. They mean so much. And I can't say thank you enough. And I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful that I have brothers and sisters such as you. There's not a one of you that I don't feel I could go to in my weakness when I should be doing something else, but am unable for whatever reason. You can go to you and you can put your arms around me and say, Tom, let's you and I go to Jesus with this.
Yeah.
Not Tom, you idiot. When are you going to learn? because I've had a lot of religion that's all it's done is condemn more. It's been a false voice of the enemy saying, you shouldn't do that. God, don't you realize what Jesus Christ did for you? Come on, get your act together.
Yes.
I've never heard the Holy Spirit speak that way, either sovereignly or through brothers and sisters. But I've heard them say, let us turn to Jesus. In him is your victory. He has conquered sin, Satan, and death forever, and he lives in you. Let's go with him. Let's go to him together. That's fellowship. That's the kind of fellowship I've had with you brothers and sisters for decades. I cannot tell you how important it is. But I can also encourage you that there are brothers and sisters out there who need what you have. There's too darn much religion out there that says, well, you just don't pray enough. You don't read the Bible enough. You don't do this. You don't do that. You don't give. You don't blah, blah, blah. All what you don't do rather than say, I understand. I've been there. Let's go to the Lord Jesus. He's in you. Let's fellowship. Let's worship.
Tom.
Yes.
You know what our friend Greta would say when you're beating yourself up? She would say, quit shouldn't on yourself. Should do this and you should do that. Quit shouldn't on yourself.
Quit shouldn't, yes.
Shouldn't.
Yeah. Quit shouldn't.
Oh, I tell you. You know, I hope that maybe next week I'll be able to get on the Zoom without having to call Carrie again and say, I screwed up again.
That's not a deal. That's not a deal at all.
I am so technically challenged, my kids just say, Dad, it's just a phone. I'll learn. Anything anyone would like to say or share?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're recording this, and I need to start my mornings listening to this hour that we've spent together, because I am a Carrie, you should have done this. You should have done that. You know, I condemn myself. I don't need anybody to condemn me because I'm ahead of them.
Very messy to should on yourself.
Yeah.
You're really good at it, huh?
And I was with a friend whose name I won't reveal, but he shoulds on himself all the time. And I love this man desperately. And we're going to have a talk about that.
Oh.
Yeah, all right.
I love you, Buck. I really do. I love you very much. Love all of you people.
Yes. I would like to ask for prayer next week. I'm having parathyroid surgery.
Oh.
So I won't be here on next Tuesday Zoom to see that miraculous happening, Tom.
Amen. What do you call parathyroid
surgery? Yes. Oh. Everybody has four little parathyroid glands that's right by their thyroid. And when it's not working properly or whatever you want to call it, tumor or whatever, it has consequences in your body long term. So I want to nip that as soon as I can.
Okay. Well, where is the thyroid? Is that in your neck?
Yes, it's
in. Is that right in here, Al?
It's right up here. I have a little bitty incision, but I'm kind of looking forward to it because the things that I've seen manifested because it's already beginning to happen. I'm hoping that some of that will quit. Or even be
sure,
God.
Yeah, guys.
Oh, bless you guys. Okay. I just so appreciate you, and it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
There is coming a day when no sorrow shall. No more sickness nor pain. No more.
I know those words.
I better get some Prevagen, you know it?
Prevagen. Let me know if it works.
If it works, we'll tell you.
Tom, did you read Romans 8, verse 12 to us? today?
Not 12. No, I didn't.
Oh, can I read that real quick before we go?
Please do.
Yeah, this is out of the Holman. It says, "So then, brothers, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. All those led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters."
Hallelujah.
I love that. Thank you.
Yes, you're not obligated. So it's not our obligation to live according to the flesh. I think that's
pretty good. That's what I need to do when I'm tempted.
Me
and that's
too.
Where, again, I don't want to overemphasize it, but I can't tell you how much I long for the Church of Jesus to be a place of real fellowship rather than a place where I got to come and put a darn face on like nothing's happening and everything's all right. Right. I need a place where I can come with brothers and sisters who walk through the valley of the shadow of death and yet fear no evil.
Yeah.
I like people with dented armor.
Amen.
I love those kinds of people because they're the ones that can help somebody else. And after all, when Jesus said, "Don't call anybody rabbi, you only got one rabbi and that's me. If you want to be great, be the servant of all.
Yeah.
For he who is the servant of all is the greatest among you." That's the guy who comes, the woman who comes and lays down their life for you. That's why I'm so blessed as I look at these pictures. You people have done so for me and my wife. I had no idea what was going to happen when we realized we couldn't stay in our house any longer. I couldn't care for Barb 24/7. I couldn't do it. And I would sometimes lay in bed afraid to go to sleep for fear she'd wake up and need me and I wouldn't be available.
Oh.
And then Paul and Devon came and spent the night. That's Steve great. And Sarah came and spent the night.
That's great.
Becky said, "Call me on time." Mm-hmm. And things began to work out. And we thought, well, what about the old house? Well, why don't you think? Blah, 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 blah. I'm so grateful. I think one of the times I experienced that with one of you was when I was with Jan up in the hospital when she was very ill. And you remember when your grandkids were there, Jan?
Yeah.
And they started singing.
Yeah.
By the Spirit, a brand new song that had never been sung on the earth came through your grandchildren for you.
Wow.
I'll never forget that. Yeah. And Jan just sat there and drank it in. And I'm along with her.
Yeah.
Well, don't want to get into sloppy agape. Forgive me. Yes. Anybody have anything you want to share?
I was looking at your dented armor, and we know a detail shop down the street if you're interested.
Thank you.
Don't you dare.
I'm sorry. For some reason that just popped into my mind. It's best to keep those things to myself, I suppose.
No.
But your armor is very dented and you've been through some really difficult things and come out of them. And it's an inspiration to us. And I think that's one of the
reasons. Isn't it wonderful to know other brothers and sisters you're walking through with you? God bless your surgery, Shelly.
Yeah.
Well, you're in our prayers already. Already. Yeah.
And let's remember Stan and Jonathan.
Jonathan, yes.
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
And let's also remember we need to be praying for our government.
Yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm. Especially right now, this week and next.
Yeah, I pray for them too.
And also your granddaughter as well, Jessie. We need to keep her in our prayers because she's going.
Yeah, she went. We took her to the hospital yesterday again, and they did an MRI with and without contrast and found some things that they hadn't talked about before, but a lot of people noticed it, and. We kind of eased around and in the different places in the hospital to get data that nobody would give us before and ended up with a lot of written records that indicate the problem and we even got a CD of the MRI. So it appears that the enemy is being pushed back, and we're getting information that may be helpful. It's evident she's going to have another operation because she's not able to walk or take care of the baby. And so we just need to continue praying. But I feel like that the Lord is showing us that He's not through yet.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. I'm glad you're there, Buck.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Just like that door up in there.
Would one of you close us with prayer today? And we're in no hurry.
Let me read the lyrics of that song.
Oh, good. Play.
The grandkids, because it's almost like a prayer. Mm-hmm. Here it is. It's, you silenced all my enemies. You tore the chains apart. You pierced through the darkness and healed my wounded heart. You brought me back to life again and held me in your arms. You strengthened every part of me. We'll never be apart. And the chorus is this. In your name, I am found and free. In your name, nothing conquers me. In your name, it is finished. In your name, it is done. Praise the name of Jesus Christ, the Son.
Mm. Wow.
Amen.
What a gift.
Yes.
And the Lord gave them that song in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. I know. I sat there and listened and watched it. I saw the miracle happen.
Yeah.
And I saw Jan lean back in the bed. She wasn't quite all there, but her face lit up like a lamp had gone on inside it. She just drank those words in. They were part of her healing.
Right, right, right.
Oh, geez. Oh, well, may the Lord bless you. I don't see Sue today. God bless Sue, Jim.
Yes.
Bless you. How's she doing generally?
Fair.
Fair.
I know what that's like. Well, God bless and strengthen you and her. And may the Lord's sovereignty just come over you and Sue in such a way that you'll touch realms you've never touched before of God's mercy and grace. And I go across the bottom to Sandy and Tom and Jerry and Ann and Julie up there and Danny and Al and Jan and Jane and Shelley and Buck and, oh, there's me. And Jerry and Sherry. Thank you for being together with us today. Thank you for your prayers.
Yes, Lord.
And praise God. There is coming a day.
Thank you.
He's coming. He's coming.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, God bless you. See you next week. Thanks
again. Bye-bye, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a good word today. What a good word from Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, he just, you know, I was just thinking about myself, which I do most of the time, which is really sad. But, how my body's kind of fallen apart and how I rail about it. And what Tom was talking about today was so good to hear. And because all of our bodies are getting weaker as we get older. And there are things that we can't do that we used to be able to do. And for Tom to share like he does and open his heart is just, mm-hmm. You don't hear that from pastors. Do you? No.
Not that clearly.
No, not that clearly at all. Well, Annie, it's good to see you. I know there are things you don't want to share, but my bowel, my bladders, my this, my that, my adder, they all don't work. And so we have to do things that we have to do you know, that's just what we do to keep going. And thank God for friends like and partners like Cheryl and Jerry and
Jim
and everybody, Jane, your husband and Bud and Steve and Al and Jan and Sandy and her wonderful husband back there. I see you now, Tom.
We saw his shoulder for a while.
Pardon me, Jane?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We saw his shoulder.
Yes, we saw it. Now we see his feet. Now we see him. Tom, how are you doing? Good. You look good. So does anybody want to share before we go? Before I say goodbye? It's so hard to shut this down. I just, you know. Anybody? Julie? Anything to share?
I have a little question. Cheryl, did you get a text from me yesterday? Did you see?
I found it late. I wasn't close to my phone when it came, and so I thought, oh, I need to respond.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure.
Yes.
Okay. Carrie, I just want to say, no matter what your physical condition is, you are worthy.
You're worthy.
Amen. Oh, thank you.
All worthy.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'll play this Christmas. Back. Yeah. What was that, Jane?
I said your Christmas message.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I forgot.
I know, it was so uplifting.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's good to have friends and fellowship with everybody. And even if it is just electronic, I can't wait till the day when we all get together. We're wondering if we'd be able to go back to Prairie Rose. Sid was our connection there, I think. And does anybody know how Sid is doing? I miss her desperately. And I don't think she's doing very well. I haven't talked to John or Scott. But
we should try to remember to ask Tom.
Tom, because she used to call Tom frequently. And
well, I still teach the Bible study.
Yes.
Wednesday. And, good. You know, we're doing some exercise classes, and we get together with some people at meals. They'll let us occasionally have two couples together at night.
Oh, that's good.
So we're making some progress here.
That's good.
That's great.
When we get out, we can go out. We're with the family, my son and four grandkids for Christmas, so.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I bet that was a good, really good, wasn't it?
Or Christmas present. My son rented the AMC theater for us. Seven of us, we had the whole theater to ourselves.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
Popcorn and pop and movie. You hadn't been to a movie in 8 or 9 months, you know.
Yeah.
So what movie did you see?
Hook, the old Robin Williams movie.
Oh, okay.
That's a good one, yeah.
Man, Hook. We had a lot of fun.
Oh, that's a wonderful present. How creative. I would never
have thought of that. We had them all.
Yes, that is. That's great.
That's terrific. Well, thank goodness for sons, daughters. Oh, go ahead, Al.
I didn't think that was Al.
Thank goodness for sons and daughters and grandchildren.
Yes, amen.
They're really a blessing. And how are all your grandkids?
Left for Brazil yesterday.
For Brazil?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he went to Brazil yesterday, and he'll be home for a week in February, then he's moving to Portugal. Started a church there. He's already started it. He's off and running.
Oh, wow.
I see. So he must be. Go ahead, Jane.
Is this Ann's son?
No, this is Stuart's boy, Zach.
Okay.
Yeah.
To Portugal. Wow.
He must speak pretty fluent Portuguese then.
He's doing pretty well at it. He leads worship in Portuguese.
Oh, that's terrific.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. So anybody else's grandkids doing anything that you'd like to share?
I'd like to share how much better our granddaughter is that was in and out of psych hospitals and suicidal. And she got a new diagnosis in the last hospital, and they took her off of all the psych drugs. They said, we don't think she's schizophrenic or bipolar. We think she's autistic. Oh, and they took her off of all those psych drugs, and she is like a new person.
Oh,
we got to be with her last week for a few hours, and she's a joy to be with.
Oh my God.
Wonderful.
I know lots of you were praying, and thank you so much.
Oh,
that is wonderful.
That's great.
That's wonderful.
Brent's daughter?
It's Tasha's young, Amber's youngest.
Okay.
She's 16 now.
I lost track of all your kids.
Yeah.
There's enough of them.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Well, Sandy, did you guys get any snow up there?
You could see it coming down, but it didn't stick.